day, the last night that we'll ever see 2014 again. Last opportunity that we'll even have a part of 2014. So what we must do tonight is we must contemplate on what we have done and what we have not done. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I wanted to see done, but it hadn't happened. But I know the Lord is looking and expecting the same thing that we had this year and since I've been here. And that is the faith of the grain of mustard seed. We see where it's speaking of in the Bible, it's speaking about the anchor that we can take and we can hold on to. And as we drop that anchor should not be in no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you that's here tonight. I want to thank the members of Faith Baptist Church for being so faithful to God. I want to thank you for your kindness toward me and my wife. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since we've come here, but we came back, and I think the first service we had was on a Wednesday night, or towards the last Wednesday night in February. But in speaking about that, I just want to thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers, because there's nothing that we can do without each other's prayers. Today, that's the only thing that I believe that we have going for us is where other people are praying for us. And we must pray one for another, because we're living in the time of apostasy. We're living in a time of discouragement. We're living in a time of trouble. And just like I spoke Sunday night, you know, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first two or three verses there, it speaks of perilous times. It speaks of heartache. It speaks of troubles. It speaks of things that we're going to face that we've never faced before. There's going to be some things that we're going to face in 2015 that we have not faced in 2014 yet. But it's coming. So don't be surprised about what does happen and what does come. But one thing I do ask of each one of you is to make sure that you have got an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And your anchor of faith will carry you through. Now, talking about the anchors, I got down here the four anchors of faith. Now, we know the main anchor that we must put ourselves in is that one mustard seed. Now, why did God say one mustard seed? Why did he say many mustard seeds? It looked like if we had maybe a bag of mustard seed or a 5-gallon bucket of mustard seed, that we wouldn't have to worry about things that we come up against so prevalent that we have before, that we'll have the faith to endure all the trouble. But he did not ask for that. He asked for that one little mustard seed. One seed. One seed that's the smallest seed of them all. You can take that one seed there and you can plant it, and then it'll grow up to a tree. It'll grow up to 10 foot tall. It'll grow up to the point to where the birds will flock to that tree to where they can get their nourishment from. That's where we get our nourishment from today, is the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must keep that faith. Here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shouteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with the many such parables spake he the words unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expound all things to his disciples." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can gather in like faith tonight. And Father, we come here tonight, Father, to serve you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. And Father, we're not supposed to come and just serve you here, but we're supposed to leave this service tonight and be the servant that you would have us to be out in the world. So Father, as I once said, Father, tonight, Lord Jesus, we come in to worship. And as we worshiped you in spirit and in truth, Father, our faith is built up. Our strength is being built up. Our encouragement has been built up by one another that's here tonight. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do tonight. And Father, you know, Lord Jesus, that I cannot stand here alone. I know, Father, that I'm standing here behind this sacred desk where so many men have stood in the past right here. So many of the great men of God stood here and preached your precious word. And Father, tonight I pray, God, that you'll just move me out of the way. And Father, that you will just have your will and way tonight in the lives of each one of the people. We just want to thank you for loving us before we even got to the point of even knowing who you was and who you are. Now, Father, we pray, God, that you'll give me that unction from on high. Father, that you may preach through me tonight. Because Father, if you do not do the preaching, we just might as well get up and go home. Father, I do not want to be in thy way tonight. So you take and you hide me behind the cross of Calvary. And I thank you for that cross. Thank you for these thy people that come in tonight. Thank you for the visitors that's come. And we pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that they may experience something here. Father, that they can be able to take it back home with them and maybe take it to the other churches that they visit or the members of, Father. that they can take it back to their church, Lord Jesus, and can inspire the people there. So, Father, we ask tonight, you do something unusual. Do something miraculous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we just read about the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed. Now, like I said, that seed will grow into a great big large tree. We can take, and I started to bring one, but I didn't. But I wished I had a symbol of it. I wished I had a symbol of a mustard seed and a mustard seed plant. And then have a 5-gallon bucket and then have a 55-gallon bucket. We can take and we can put all the seeds that we can muster up of faith. We can go to all the places of business and we can buy all the mustard seed that they have. And we can place the mustard seed in the 5-gallon bucket. We can build up and it can be overrunning. But first of all, there had to be the first seed that went in. There was a seed of faith. Same thing as us. Same thing as you and me today. We must have, first of all, the mustard seed of faith. And that mustard seed of faith can anchor our soul into the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we've just celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior last week. We've just went through that. But we must realize not only that, that we can have the faith of that seed in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we can put our faith and trust in Him, that He's going to do exactly what His Father had asked Him to do many, many, many years before that. Not only that, it says right here in Psalms chapter 83 and verse 1, says, keep not thou silent. O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. Keep not thou silence. We don't need to keep silence tonight. We don't need to keep silence tomorrow. We don't need to keep silence in 2015 like we have been in 2014. Yes, there are some places that I've been to and I didn't say anything. But I've come to the realization that I should have said something. I should have said something. If I didn't say anything, I should have just lifted my hands up and said, bless the name of Jesus and praise His wonderful name. We must look to Him for our strength. And as we look to Him for our strength, we can look to Him through and not keeping ourselves silent. And we should not keep ourselves silent. There are certain things in life, yes, we may have to keep ourselves silent on. Maybe the job that we work on. Yeah, you have to keep silent because there are some things that you cannot say on the job anymore. Because they've got all of the security and they've got all the security breaches and all the stuff is going on out here, hacking the computers and everything. And we must keep ourselves silent in that. But the main thing that we should never keep silent on, and that is the one that we serve. Hey, what are we scared of? We're scared of being politically correct anymore. Politically correct. What does politically correctness mean? What does it mean? To me, it means this. To me, it means that we must not say anything that will offend someone else. I'm not up here to offend anybody. I'm up here to help. I'm out there going and visiting people and inviting them to church and witnessing to them and tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. I'm not trying to offend them or belittle them. I just want to let them know that there's somebody that cares for them. The NAACP, they don't care anything about them. The President of the United States don't care anything about them. Your city government down here, they don't care anything about you. The only one that cares anything about us at all is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I was talking to a preacher a while back, and he said, you know something? He says, I know it's in the Bible and everything, and he says, and I preach from a King James Bible. And he said, but everywhere it says, speaking about the Holy Ghost, I change it. I change it to Holy Spirit. He said, because I don't like to use the word ghost. I said, well, John the Baptist, he didn't mind saying it. Paul the Apostle, he didn't mind saying it. Who give them the words to pin down on paper to where we could have it today? None other than God the Father, God the Son, and then the Holy Spirit took a hold of the fingers and wrote it down. So, yes, I've been in churches before, and I've been in churches and preaching, just preach on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. And I had one church to tell me, said, you don't have to come back tonight. You know what it was over? Matter of fact, I'd been preaching at this particular church for almost going on a month then. But that Sunday morning when I preached on the Holy Spirit. And I brought up that you cannot be a New Testament church if you do not believe in the Holy Spirit. You cannot believe in God the Father and God the Son if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Because it's three in one. It's the triune God. And I brought that up, and he says, you know, he said, we don't like bringing up the Holy Spirit because we know, you know, if you do, we figure you're gonna go Pentecostal on us or something like that. Well, hey. If that's the case, then what are you doing in church then? What are you doing reading your Bible then? You saying that Jesus Christ can't preach? That's what he does. He preached. He was the greatest preacher of all. But then you had Paul. He preached. And Paul was the next greatest preacher. What did they preach? They preached God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or God the Holy Ghost. It didn't make no difference. And you said, oh man, you won't let God into your house. You won't let God in this building, will you? He says, no, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. You might as well said it. I said, because why?
Because you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why you say, if you, anybody come in and starts preaching, then the Holy Spirit, preaching and naming like the Holy Spirit and everything, they're Pentecostal. Well, praise God then, when Jesus is Pentecostal. Praise God, the Son of God is Pentecostal. Praise God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost both are Pentecostal. If that's what you, if you want you to put a name on them, then put a name on them. But don't come in here and tell me what I can preach and what I can't preach. And that was the main deacon of the church. They didn't have a three. And I just told him, I said, well,
you know, I can't say that I'll never bring it up again, because there's a good possibility I will. And I said this to him, and I shouldn't have said it at the time, but I did. I said there's a good possibility that I'll probably say it again. A good possibility I may say it tonight.
He said, you mean you ain't got your message for tonight yet? I said, yeah. I said, but you know something? God always changes the message. God changes the message as he sees fit. And don't get me wrong. And I don't want you, I plead, and I don't want y'all to really take this in the wrong way. But you know something? Sometimes people will say, well, you've done that out of spite. Coming back on that same night, preach about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost again. Well, God gives it to me, I'll say it. And sometimes we do. I've caught my own self in doing it.
But I've caught myself in more times than one getting up here and turning to the scripture that I'd studied. And I prayed about. And God says, no, go another direction. Hey, we have to be mindful. The God, he is the captain. He is the great shepherd. He is the one that I have to please. He's the one that you have to please. You don't have to please me. You don't have to please me. But I will say this. If you please the Lord, then it's going to please me.
And if I please the Lord, because God is a two-way street.
It's a two-way street. The virgin birth. The anchor in the virgin birth. We must not keep silent. We have so many people. We have so many today that they say, well, no, we got Christmas back in. People are talking about Christmas more and more. They're talking about it through the holidays. Yeah, but the thing about it is, but what they don't remember is when they took it out of the Walmart, took it away from Walmart and all these other places, and they changed it from Christmas to change to Xmas. What they've done, they just done it for a while, and they're not really complaining all that about it now. You want to tell you the reason why they're not complaining now? They done doing exactly what they wanted to do. They done got people's thoughts to the place. They don't have to think about Christmas. They can think about Xmas. And people have gotten the point. Say, well, you know, you know, all these tablets and everything, iPhones and iPads and these tablets going around, everything, all these electronics and everything. The only thing we got now is just a little old pen now. It's got a little rubber tip on it, something like that. We push it and everything like that. We can't even write anymore. My wife told me this, and I didn't know it. The schools today don't even allow, they don't even teach the children today to how to write and cursor or what it is. But, you know, they don't know how to write. The only thing that now they're teaching them is electronics. A, B, C. Well, where's D at? D? O? They can't even write down a D. They don't even know how to write a D. But let me tell you what. Even with that, you can still use it for the Lord. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelite of Moab and the Hagarness. We see right here where talking about the storms, talking about the anchor, that word anchor is not mentioned here in these verses of scripture. Over here in verses 35 down through the end of the chapter here in Mark. But it's speaking about the storms of life. It's speaking about if we don't watch it, the storms of life, the troubles that come our way will get us down to the point that what we'll do, we'll just go over here and lay back. Say we're going to rest a little while. Then the next thing you know, we're going off to sleep. Going off to sleep. But what did the Lord ask us to do before? To be witnesses unto Him. And the same day when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. We see that where the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd of the flock. And the flock must follow Him. I am the under shepherd, so I must follow Him. And you must follow Him. We must follow Him willingly. We must follow Him in a way to where, with the little ships, we're all in God's eye. As little ships in His work. The anchor of the sacrificial death of Jesus. That's the reason we are here tonight. That's the reason that we are looking forward to Sunday. That is the reason we're looking forward to tomorrow and Saturday, then Sunday and next week and 2015. Why? Because of the death that He gave so freely. And He gave it. They did not take His life. But you have people out here today saying, well, yeah, they took His life. They nailed Him to a cross, didn't they? Yeah, they nailed Him to a cross, sure did. Then they plant the crown on the top of his head. Yeah, they sure did. They even went further than that. They even beat him and with the strap and everything with the cattails of nine cattails on the back of him, and they couldn't even recognize who he was. His back was just like a Pharaoh, is what Scripture says. And the type of Pharaoh that they're speaking about is the same type of Pharaoh out here that we're going to start seeing now. When the farmers are here and they go out here and they start turning over the field, start turning the dirt over. That is what you call a furrow. That you've got that ditch going down there. That is the furrow. But it kept turning it over and turning it over. Well, they say, yes, I know they beat him. But didn't he carry his cross up toward Calvary? Yeah, he sure did. He climbed the hill there. Golgotha's hill with the cross. Did they nail him to the cross? Yeah. Did they plant the thorns? Yeah, they planted the thorns on his head, pushed it down. Blood started seeping out. They said, well, didn't they break his legs like they broke the other two? No, they didn't. They didn't break his legs. Because it says in the book of Deuteronomy that there will be no bones broken. And it was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, they said, well, didn't they take the spear and put it into his side? And blood started coming out? Yeah, sure did. Blood started running out of his body. Sure did. Running from the spikes where his feet was crossed out. Run out of each and every wrist in his body. Right on the left and the right hand side. Even the crown. Blood dripped. You could see his body. Blood was everywhere. I said, but the thing about it is, you left out one thing. He said, what was that? I said, well, you left out, what's the name of it? I can't remember the name. The water. Speaking of the fluid that builds up within our bodies. I listened to me and Brother James Abbott went to up in Mount Airy, Little Mountain Baptist Church. It's probably been 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago. An elder preacher up there was preaching. And he said, you know, they've finally come about and said exactly what he died from. And this preacher, and I can't dispute him. I know he died for the sins of the world. I know his both arms were stretched out for the whole world just to come in. But he said this, that he believes that Jesus Christ and some scientists and some doctors had looked at his and read Scripture and traced it all back out. Now, I don't know how truth it is, but he said that what he had read, it seemed like it is a possibility that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave up the ghost, and when he told his father, says, Father, it is finished. When he said that, he died with a broken heart. Because what did he tell the people there that were around the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Now, how can somebody say that? Well, allowing, and where the people that he said it to, they didn't want to put him to the cross. When the virgin birth shows Christ living for us, this great doctrine shows him dying to save us from our sin. This act shows the terribleness of human sin and the mighty love of God for us. In his death, we have a picture of redemption through a perfect substitute. In his death, we have a great picture of redemption through a perfect substitute. The anchor of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. In this we see Christ living for us. John chapter 14 and verse 19 says this. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. He is seen in the Bible as the great conqueror. What did he conquer? Death. He conquered Satan in his death. He conquered Satan in the place where it was prepared for just Satan. And he conquered hell. He conquered death. Hell and the grave. He conquered it all for us. Why? Because he did not want to see us go. He didn't want to see me go to hell. He didn't want to see me spend eternity there. The reason, always from the back of the book, in the front of the book, Genesis, it speaks of where he was foreordained. Ordained. You know, we here tonight, the reason that we are here is because we know exactly what Jesus Christ done. And we believe in this Bible. We believe in Genesis 1:1 through to Revelation 22:21. We believe the inserts that's in here. The blank pages that's in here, we believe that that is the Word of God. We believe that this outside appearance is the Word of God. Why? Because it has Holy Bible. You must realize also that a whole lot of Bibles that's in the Bible bookstore, and I hear now they sell it. One time they weren't putting Holy Bible on the rim part or the bind part of what you want to call it. But now, just about everything now, they do to put it there. At one time when they first started coming out with them, they didn't put it there. Why? See, they end up putting it right here. They put the Bible on. I've got a book at the house. It's a hardback book. Somebody took it.
And you know what it says on the outside in big print? Bible. But you know what's in that, in between the hard covers and on all the pages? You know what it is? It's instructions. It's directions on how I can go out to the shop and I can build these wood piece, what they call jigs today, that they use. So instead of having to go buy something, you can take a piece of wood and you can make your own jig out of it. But not only that, it'll show me exactly how to put the dovetails in furniture. It'll show me exactly how to do this and do that. It'll tell me what type of glue to use. It'll tell me what it, but on the outside of it, it's got Bible on it. Now, if I just happen to take that book there, and if I just happen to give it to somebody, say, "Him, I like for you to read this. You know, it's a good book." And they say, "Yeah, I know. I've read the Bible. I know it's a good book. But you ain't read one like this one. You ain't read no Bible like this one." They said, "I ain't." I said, "Nope, you haven't." And flip it over. Open. And it's got pages after pages after pages. It tells you what page to turn to for dovetails. It tells you what page to build a jig for making frames and everything. It got to tell you how to make a jig, the way you can use it on the table saw, the way you can go and cut these different type moldings out and everything. It's got all of that in it. And it's a Bible. On the outside it says Bible. But see, they didn't put holy. Because it wasn't the Holy Bible. We have to remember who is holy in this book. This is the only, I believe with all my heart, and I'm standing here holding and showing you a Bible, the King James Bible. This right here is the closest thing to the original manuscript that we have as English-speaking people. Yes, the Spanish out here, they have them also. They got a King James Bible, but it's in Spanish. That's the closest thing to the original manuscript to them, what they got. But I'll say this, in saying what I've just said, this is the only book that's been number one year after year, ever since the first day of publication, been number one. See, it does not have a copyright on it. Only book that doesn't have a copyright. All the other books, all the other Bibles you've got over there at the Lifeway and the Christian bookstore and everything, they got copyrights on them. They got copyrights. I cannot copy anything that they got and put it on another piece of paper. I cannot copy. It's against the law. just an idea. See, a copyright is just guaranteed for, I think it's only 2 years. This right here is the only Bible, the only book that's ever come about that the first day did not have a copyright.
The only book that I know of.
Doug, know the author. Who is the author of this book? God the Father. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. This is the only book that I know of, that I know the author. And I can get in there, I can read it by this author. And this author turns around and speaks to my soul. There's no other book that can speak to your heart. No other book. This is the only book that's living and it breathes. It lives. It lives every day and alive. So in closing tonight, what are we going to do with it in 2015? What are we going to do with the Word of God that we have? And yes, and we still have the freedom right now to where we can come into the church house. And we still have the freedom where we can come in and pray. And we still have the freedom right now that we can come in and communicate one with another. We still have freedom that we can have some good preaching. And I'm not speaking of myself. Because I'm at least of any of them. But we can continue on going with God being the head of it. God being the head of it. I can't be the head. You can't be the head. God has to be the head of the work that has been started here at Faith Baptist Church. And it's been started, next year will be 50 years. If I'm not wrong, Emma, is that right? 50 years. You know what it means, 50 years? You know what that means? That means Jubilee time. Jubilee time. And with the Lord Jesus Christ's help, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with our help, Jet and June might be the second full week in June. We're going to have Jubilee here. And I'm praying that God is going to be on the scene each and every night, and I know it will, because them doors are always open. Now, how many times have I said that? If these doors are not open here at this church, then we need to just close the doors. We just need to close the doors and go on home if we can't allow God to come in. So I'm going to be the first to tell you, these doors, as long as I'm pastor here, will always be open and always welcome somebody else to come in. Will always be open until for that sinner that I hear in the world that will come in. And not just come in,
but it will experience the love from the people that's here. If we don't show that we love people and we care for them, they're not going to come. They're not going to come. Hey, I love them all. Doesn't make no difference the color. White, brown, red, yellow. It doesn't make no difference to me. They're breathing. And they're walking on 2 feet. And if they was born to this world, they're welcome right here because they breathe. Why does sickness comes about? Why do we all have sickness? Why have I had sickness on my, the tiredness in my legs. I don't really know what the real reason behind it was, but evidently I can say this, and I can say it with a clear heart. There was somewhere that God wanted me to go and visit someone. Visit an individual, and I did not do it. And I probably had it in my heart and said, Lord, there's no need for anything. I done been to them, other people have been to them, and they just say it's no need. See, I believe that that was a reason. I'm sure it was probably some other reason. But I know one thing. It took me out of action for a while. It took me out of action to where I couldn't go out here and visit. Because it looked like every time that I got up from my chair at the house and I started anywhere, I stumbled and I would fall. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, I won't allow Him to go ahead of me. Prepare a heart. And I didn't say, Lord, I need for You to go and speak to my brother. Lord, he says he's saved, but there's no evidence of it. And Lord, I'm not saying that he's not. Only You know that in Him. I said, but Lord, allow me to go and visit more than I ever had before in 2015. I mean, I believe He's given me another opportunity, another chance to serve Him the way He wants me to serve Him, not the way that I want to serve Him. And you that's been here, you that's here, members of Faith Baptist Church, you know how that I've been here and I've preached and I've come down off of these steps right here and I fell backwards. Not only that, I've come down from the steps here, and I've been out there, and we'd be out here talking. And all of a sudden, I lose my balance. Next thing I know, I'd be in trouble. It's only by the grace of God that I did not break something. It's only by the grace of God that I did not hit my head on the corner of that pew.
It's only by the grace of God that I'm standing here tonight and saying to you that I haven't walked with my walker. I mean, with my cane. It's been almost 4 weeks now. It's by the grace of God. And I'm not saying that I will not end up with it again. But I will say this. If the Lord lays someone on my heart to go and visit, I'm going to go and visit. Because He's laid it on my heart. But now I want to stress to you, each one of you here that's here tonight, you remember this. The ones that the Lord laid on my heart that I did not go and visit. I believe He had me just to remember Him. Times back when I visited, but then I got down. And I got so tired. I couldn't, on Sunday after I got through preaching, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, I did not go out all day. I was so tired. Same way with Wednesday night, when I come and preach just on Wednesday night, and I did my study all week and everything, trying to come up with a message and everything, and then come on Wednesday night to preach. Then Thursday. Some Thursdays I could get up and I could go. But at that time, majority of the Thursdays, I couldn't go. I was just tired. Wow. And I knew I hadn't been doing anything. I knew I hadn't been doing nothing but just studying and coming in here and preach. And I had one preacher tell me, he said, well, that's all you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pray and you're supposed to study. I said, sir, there's one thing you're leaving out. First of all, you're leaving out the Christian part. I'm supposed to go ahead and serve Him as a Christian ought to serve. I'm not serving Him because I'm the pastor of the church. I'm supposed to go out there and I'm supposed to visit. I know I can't visit all that much. Supposed to have other people in the church that will help me. But it does not give me the excuse to stay home and just study and pray. It tells me in the scripture there. And I love that verse of scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 26. My favorite verse in the Bible. And I claim it today. It says, but the Comforter, which is of the Holy Ghost, what will He do? What will the Holy Spirit, what will the Holy Ghost do? If we get in there and read God's Word, He will teach us what it says. Teach us what the Word of God says. Not only that, then the latter part of that verse, then when we do come up against something that we're going to have to face, or we may have to go and visit somebody because it's a situation going on there that we don't understand, or something like that. When we get there and we find out exactly what the situation is all about and everything, and then it says right there, then, and only then, will the Comforter, will the Holy Ghost bring all things back to my remembrance. What He's saying is, God, don't worry about it. If you don't understand it today, don't worry about it. Because you ain't supposed to understand it today. You haven't got to that point. But when you get to that point, I will get to you. And He gave. I'm just a servant, Peter, is all I am. That's all I can be. That's all it is to be, just a servant. Thank you. But being a servant, what are we going to do?
In 2015. We got about, I think it's about 3.5 hours left in 2014. And we're not going to stay here till midnight. We got 3.5 hours till the new year comes in. I'm thinking about that. I know what we've promised the Lord and what we vowed to Him that we would do. And when we keep a promise, that's what vowing means. That we vow unto God that we're going to do what we said we was going to do. And I brought that up Sunday night a little bit. Maybe I know some things that I haven't done. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. And I'm asking God right now to forgive me for that. But from now until midnight, we need to have a consciousness of prayer. What are you talking about, preacher? How can you have a consciousness of prayer from now to midnight? We can't. Well, I got to drive home. I can't stand here till midnight. I got to drive home. Nowhere in the Bible it tells you have to bow your head and you have to close your eyes, because there's nothing in prayer. It's just talking to God. Have you ever seen anybody come up and say, "Hey, Sister Dan, I got something. You know, the other day I was thinking something. I got something to tell you. I'm going to speak to you just for a minute." And I said, "Nancy, you know, I didn't know you was going to be here tonight. But I've been seeing you coming. That's the way people look. God just wants to have fellowship with us." I think tonight, and I'm going to close. I know I may have said I'm going to close 2 or 3 times. But, I mean, y'all have heard that before. But you know, unless the pastor says he's going to close at least 3 or 4 times, you know, he ain't never close. But I would really like for Sister Teresa to come up here and play something, and Brother Bill come up and lead us in a song. I'd like for everyone here tonight just to stand.